Hi, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Style Files podcast. I'm your host, Paloma Contreras, and I'm thrilled to welcome today's guest, Erin Lauder. A designer, tastemaker, and working mother of two, Erin Lauder is a modern-day style icon. Committed to living life more beautifully, she founded the luxury lifestyle brand Erin in 2012. With a love for interiors and a talent for creating warm, inviting spaces, Erin's elegant, effortless aesthetic is a reflection of her unique upbringing. As she says, "Beauty is my heritage, but home and accessories are my passion." There was an opportunity in the market for a lifestyle brand based on feminine, modern, and effortless products with strong heritage. I decided to launch Erin and make the whole concept of beauty part of the way we live today. Erin brings ease and beauty into all aspects of life, including entertaining, which we will talk about at length today in celebration of her new book, Entertaining Beautifully. Erin, we're so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm so excited about your new book.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the idea was born for your latest tome?
Well, it's a book about entertaining, and it actually, it's interesting. I've always loved to make believe entertain and real entertain. When I was a little girl, I used to love to have tea parties. And in the introduction of my book, it talks about playing with my sister with our Barbie dream house. And I used to always say, it's a party at my house. And you're going to come. I must have been, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and, you know, these endless tea parties with my grandparents and, you know, all my stuffed animals. So it's always been something that I've been drawn to. And after launching the brand Erin 7 years ago, I realized that home is a real passion of mine. And it's a category that people are really drawn to. They know me for beauty because it's very much my heritage, but mm-hmm. I really, really love home. And so therefore, I thought it was perfect timing to launch an entertaining book based on my storytelling, heritage, my philosophy about entertaining. And I've also asked some friends to be part of this book. So wonderful sources of inspiration. And we've broken it up by season. So I think it's a fun read, and it kind of takes you through 12 months of entertaining.
Absolutely. I loved that about the book, the fact that it's broken up seasonally. But before we delve in into more detail regarding the book, you mentioned briefly that beauty is your heritage. So for those who have been living under a rock or may not be familiar, obviously, Erin's grandmother is the storied Estée Lauder, a pioneering female entrepreneur who's ahead of her time. What is it like to be her granddaughter? You know, being the granddaughter of one of the most famous and celebrated arbiters of style.
Well, Estée was an incredible role model. I mean, not only was she an incredible businesswoman, but a grandmother, a friend, a style mentor. She really taught me so much. I mean, her wonderful quote of like, whatever you do, do it well and do it with passion. I think about every day when I get up, whether I'm in the office, at a trunk show, traveling for work, or being inspired. And she really taught me the importance of being authentic and listening to your customer. And, you know, unfortunately, I never really had the experience of working with her. And that is the one thing I really, really regret. But she, you know, was constantly working. She went to work every day till she was in her mid 80s. And she taught me so much about beauty, lifestyle, and home. And I actually dedicate my new book to her and my mother because they were so influential in so many aspects of my life.
That's so wonderful. And you do mention that, how they were both incredibly influential, but also very different in their entertaining styles.
Very,
just
very
in
different.
Personal design sense. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think I'm more like my grandmother than my mother. And I grew up, my mother loved to entertain, but she does it in a more minimal way. My parents collect contemporary art. So, you know, the artwork on the walls are very bold. She does love vintage glassware and plates, and has always taught me the importance of like a perfect napkin, perfectly pressed crisp napkin. But my sensibility, I think, is a bit more like my grandmother's. And, you know, she gave us her home in East Hampton that we live in now, and that's where we've been the past few months. And I'm forever being inspired by her love of beautiful things and her attention to detail. You know, every table had flowers and candles and photographs and little bowls of chocolates and just kind of more is more in her world of home. And it's interesting because in her personal style, she used to always say wear one great piece of jewelry. But in her world of home, it was always about, you know, more pillows, more blankets, more bowls. And my mother's the complete opposite. So I think I have taken a lot of inspiration from both of them.
That's so funny. And actually, as you describe that, I can sort of envision the influence that each of them has had on your style, which obviously, you know, is very personal to you, but your homes are so layered and beautiful, and each has such a distinct point of view. But then when I think of how you dress, you're always impeccably chic, but you take a more minimal approach. I don't think I've ever seen you in a ton of jewelry.
No.
And it's typically more tailored.
Very, very true. I'm, you know, right now I'm sitting in my New York City apartment in a pair of jeans and a navy blue turtleneck and a pair of red mules and one piece of jewelry, a beautiful charm bracelet. But I, you know, I've always kind of been very consistent with my sense of style. But in the world of home, that's when I love to embellish a bit more.
Right. Well, you turned me on to your Le Monde Barrel Venetian mules. I'm obsessed.
Thank you. No, we just did a collaboration with them for this fall, this beautiful kind of deep blue velvet, because our fall collection and our new fragrance, Emperor de Noir, is inspired by the Renaissance and beautiful tapestries. So there's all these wonderful kind of rich velvets and rich colors that we're using in both beauty and home and accessories.
Right. Well, you know, that brings me to my next point, actually. Tell us a little bit about how your passion for entertaining correlates to the other aspects of your life and brand, because it seems like everything ties together so seamlessly and so beautifully.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, as I said, I launched this lifestyle brand about 7 years ago, and I had this vision of creating a beauty lifestyle brand based on storytelling, heritage with a modern twist. And what's fascinating is that since it is lifestyle, as I said, you know, our newest fragrance for fall is called Ambrette de Noir, and it's a beautiful, rich, luxurious fragrance shot in my grandmother's townhouse in New York with a beautiful tapestry behind me. And the colorway and the mood is very much translated across categories in beauty. And as I said, in the world of home, we're doing these beautiful deep blue and green velvet boxes and trays. And we even did a red one for Christmas. And the same color and feeling translates into accessories as well. Pouches, weekenders, as we discussed earlier, those velvet mules that are exclusive to us. So it's very much lifestyle. And it's very important that, you know, when we go to Capri for inspiration for a fragrance, the elements of home and accessories all work within that world. So therefore, the woman, the consumer who's coming to our website or visiting our stores understands that it's one vision and one sensibility. And it makes it very cohesive when you merchandise the store or the website. It's, you know, it becomes one focus and one story.
Right. It becomes an immersive experience at that point.
Exactly.
That's so smart and I think so fun for the consumer, I would imagine.
It is. And it's also it's more focused. You know, for example, if for fall we were doing, you know, a kind of an amber rich fragrance, but then home was very minimal and cold, it would be a disconnect. And our consumer, you know, she's savvier than ever. And the power of, you know, Instagram and computers and technology makes the world smaller than ever. So therefore, people know trends and they're aware of different things around the world. And therefore, our customer really knows what she wants. And, you know, her coming into the store, visiting our website, it has to be strong and cohesive and very authentic. And that I also learned from my grandmother, you know, the whole importance of storytelling and being true to who you are. And I think the customer really appreciates that.
Absolutely. How many different categories are you currently designing for across your brand?
Well, the brand, since it is lifestyle, it's three specific categories. We've got beauty, which is obviously fragrance is a huge part of it. We have about, I want to say 26 fragrances, and we're in about 44 markets. So it's a big beauty business. And the world of home, we have lighting collection, which we come out with twice a year, which has been very, very successful. We have fabrics. We have a collaboration with Williams Sonoma, as well as we also have signed some new exciting ones, which I can't tell you quite about yet, but they're very exciting and they kind of finish the home. And then we have our own business of products that we make, picture frames, trays, games, vases. And that's a huge part of our business. It's wholesale and retail. And you can see them at Bergdorf's, Neiman's, Gorsuch, Longoria, all, you know, across the world. And once again, it's a global business. And then we have a small business of accessories, and that's really just for our website. And it's exclusive to our website and freestanding stores. And that's kind of this beautiful, like, straw collection of pouches. We do a suede pouch, which is done very, very well, very simple, beautiful gift for someone. And we also do these mini weekenders and weekenders, and a very simple sandal. So it's a very kind of edited collection of accessories, but the real focus is beauty and home.
Right. How do you begin the process of determining what the focus of that season will be, since you do have to design across so many categories?
Well, we start working about a year and a half in advance. And a lot of it, you know, it's interesting. The longest lead time really is fragrance. There's a lot of different elements that go into a fragrance. You know, it's medical testing, it's packaging, it's compatibility, it's legally getting the name approved, it's working with the perfumer. So the fragrance kind of leads the mood for the other categories. And then from there, we kind of work together. For example, this fall was all inspired by tapestries and rich hues. And, you know, what is more luxurious than beautiful velvet? So therefore, we did these velvet boxes, we did velvet trays, we've done a beautiful faux tortoise collection as well, which complements the velvet. And once again, it creates this kind of very luxurious mood. And, you know, it's interesting, the categories within home that do very well for us are entertaining, which was exciting since I, you know, such a passion. And obviously coming out with a book was fun to be able to use the pieces that we've created. And games. We have a really strong business in games. We've just launched a game table, which is both backgammon and checkers. And it's done phenomenally well. And people are very excited about that because it's furniture with a game component to it. And obviously the vases so and trays have done very, very well as well. So it's, you think about the elements of your home that you use on a regular basis. It is trays, it's games, it's picture frames. Those are really kind of our strongest products.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned you have dozens of fragrances at this point. Your Rose de Grasse is actually my favorite. It's been my signature for a few years now.
It's one of my favorites too.
Do you have a signature, or do you change based on
your mood?
You know,
it's funny. Esty taught me so much about business. And one quote she used to always say that I think very much was kind of the source and the inspiration for my fragrance collection was the idea that you wouldn't wear the same dress to play tennis in as you would to have dinner. Why would you wear the same fragrance? And it was this concept of a wardrobe of fragrances. And Esty thought that, you know, she herself had created her brand launching with Youth Do, which was actually a fragrance slash bath oil, which kind of encouraged women to buy fragrances themselves at very, very early on, when at the time women had to wait for someone to buy it for them. So fragrance is a huge part of our business. And it's really interesting because, once again, having that sense of choice allows the customer to really discover and explore. And many of our fragrances have wonderful stories behind them. You know, for example, Lilac Path, which continues to be a bestseller, was inspired by a lilac bush in my grandmother's backyard. And it was just, you know, we were going with a completely different direction. And I emailed a photograph of the lilac bush to the woman who does product development with me. And my subject of my email said, please don't kill me, but, you know, could we change directions? And it ended up being kind of the most magical fragrance and continually is a bestseller across the world. I mean, it's interesting, our best-selling fragrances, which are Lilac Path and Amber Musk and Mediterranean Honeysuckle, are consistently bestsellers in Shanghai, Hong Kong, London, Paris, Texas. You know, it's very consistent.
It's incredible that the same three would speak to so many women across so many different cultures, really. You would think that, you know, there would be a little bit more variety or variation. That's actually really interesting to hear.
Yeah, no, we find it fascinating as well. But, you know, as I said, the world is big, but it's getting smaller. And I mean, even this virus is a perfect example. Like, it's become, you know, a pandemic all across the world. It's not just in one place. And, you know, you really do see with people's trends and style and obviously fragrance purchases that there is this sense of, you know, consistency across the world of different trends.
Definitely. Well, Erin, as we're chatting, I can't help but notice not only how passionate you seem to be about all of these different endeavors that fall under your brand, but also just how impressive your knowledge of even the most minute seeming detail really is. What do you believe it takes to be a successful creative entrepreneur? Because I think oftentimes people get hung up on the creativity and don't realize that there's so much more. And just in hearing you talk about your customer, it and your knowledge of your customer, it's very clear that you're incredibly
savvy.
Thank
you. I think I learned from the best. I mean, Esty was the ultimate businesswoman. I mean, she created Gift with Purchase, which is a concept that still is relevant all over the world today. You know, she used to always say, no matter who you are, you always love a free gift. But I think that the most important thing is really being authentic, being true to who you are, loving what you do, and really believe in the product. You know, when we launch products, I always say it's my name on it. It has to be the best it can possibly be. And it's, you know, the light has to be perfect. The vase has to be beautiful. The fragrance has to last long and be really, you know, put a smile on someone's face. And I think it's really important to follow your intuition and really stay true to who you are. And don't always go running for the business, go running for authenticity and things that you think are correct for you and the brand.
Definitely. Well, to that end, what is your style philosophy? How does it relate to the way that you entertain and decorate?
Well, I'm quite traditional. I mean, I do have a heritage component to everything I do. And I do love, you know, all these wonderful things that have been passed down from my grandparents and my parents. So I do, my philosophy generally is quite classic. I'm wearing a vintage ring right now that I bought in London and a charm bracelet. So I think my very much translates from fashion, beauty to home. So it's always fresh flowers. I do love, you know, a round table. I think there's, it's very conducive for conversation. It always seems more inviting. And I think that my sense of style definitely translates into the way I entertain. You know, I love beautiful floral traditional dishes. I love old glassware, and I love to mix it with new. You know, the other night I had friends for dinner, and I used a lot of Estee's pieces in the country mixed with our new Murano glasses that we have on our website and napkins that we sell as well. So to me, it's fun mixing old and new. I think that's when it becomes special and authentic.
Definitely. It's all about the mix. I think that feels so much more layered and more personal than having everything be from one era or of one look or one maker.
I agree. I definitely agree. And, you know, I think what's so much fun about Instagram is that you can find brands from all over the world and have access to them and message the designer. And I think there's something really fun about finding, you know, candlesticks, glasses, napkins, salt and pepper shakers from your travels or Instagram kind of travels. And I think that's what makes a table truly unique.
Right. I noticed that you're very generous in your book, and you actually share a lot of those resources that you found on Instagram.
I do. Thank you. You know, I think
which
it's really
is so
important.
Great.
I've always, my philosophy on business and life has always been to be a generous person with my time, with my support. You know, when people send me a gift, I always Instagram it and say thank you, whether it's flowers or a beautiful sweater or something for my home. I think it's really important to acknowledge people and their talent and generosity. And I thought, you know, that, and I also love to, you know, guide people. There's nothing I love more than when people send me an email, like, I love your table settings. Where did you get the glasses? And it makes me feel good to be able to give people information and help them.
Definitely. Well, you are very active on your Instagram. What do you think you've gleaned from social media or from Instagram in particular? How has that added to your, I guess, personal fulfillment?
Well, I find it very inspiring. You know, Esty had this amazing quote, telephone, telegraph, telewoman. And I think if she was alive today, she would be up with me at 3 a.m. going through Instagram as well. She never slept. I have lots of wonderful qualities from her, but then I do have some of the bad ones, a sweet tooth, and I don't sleep. Maybe there's a correlation between the two. But, you know, I do think Instagram is very inspiring. You know, I've met a lot of wonderful people and consumers through Instagram, and some of the artists that we use, you know, whether it's for invitations or watercolors for our candles, boxes, I've met through Instagram, following their work, being inspired and reaching out to them. So I do think it's a very powerful tool in the sense of sourcing and inspiration.
Definitely. And as you mentioned earlier, you alluded to Instagram travels. I guess now that we're unable to travel in the way that we once did, it is nice to be able to have a little bit of an escape, you know,
Definitely.
Through that lens. Erin, is there a design rule that you live by?
You know, I think to tell you the truth, I think comfort's really important. And in the sense of whether it's a fragrance that, as you said, you love Rose de Grasse. It's one of my most favorites as well. It's a beautiful rose fragrance that's easy and warm and luxurious. And I think comfort, whether it's home or beauty or even accessories, is very important. I think, you know, I have two teenage sons and three dogs, and one thing I want them to do is to live in all aspects of our homes. And I think that that's really important. So I think comfort's up there. And I think also people should pick what they like. Just, you know, I think fragrance, home, if you like the color red, if you love florals, I think it's really important to embrace and kind of believe in your own personal tastes.
Definitely. Well, you mentioned having your children feel free to live to the fullest of their abilities within your various homes. And your homes are iconic at this point. You have several beautiful homes, including your chic apartment in New York, your iconic home passed down from Esty in the Hamptons, and of course, your stylish home in Aspen. What is the difference in personality between these three homes, and how does entertaining differ in each of these
settings?
Well,
I think it's important to really embrace the environment that you're in. For example, in Aspen, you know, we're surrounded by aspen trees and evergreens. So therefore, all the flowers that I use in the house, I go in the backyard and just cut evergreens and aspen trees and local wildflowers. And to me, I think it's important always to stay connected with the outdoors in that environment. You know, like, for example, like pale pink roses would look odd to me in Aspen. And, you know, it's fun for different homes to have different personalities. Aspen's a very contemporary house, huge glass windows looking over the mountains. So we really tried to keep it very neutral. And I worked with Danielle Romaldas, who's a good friend of mine, who's an architect and interior designer. We did all white wool, beautiful sisals, simple, you know, oak beds. And we did vintage wood on the ceilings to give it a sense of warmth. But generally, the house is very, very minimal, very modern, and has a different sensibility to our home in the country, which, as I said earlier, used to belong to my grandmother. And it was decorated by Mark Hampton in the 70s, mostly in blue and white. We've made some modifications. My husband never to this day understands this obsession with blue and white, but he's kind of become a supporter and goes with the flow. But, you know, that house is very traditional. It has, you know, wonderful traditional elements, curtains, wood floors, all of her antiques. And I've kept most things as is. And of course, I've added a layer of pillows and kind of slip covered some sofas. So it feels a bit more modern and more approachable for a young family. But the house out there has a completely different feel to Aspen. And it's fun to have these different experiences. And then our apartment in New York has more of a French feel. I worked with Jacques Ronge, who is a very long time friend and kind of partner for me. And he's very inspiring, and his sense of pattern and unexpected twists and love of layers of different, you know, fabrics. And he's really taught me a lot as well. So the homes all have different feels, but yet there's a consistent thread of being comfortable. And I want everyone to always feel they can sit in any chair, any sofa. Fresh flowers are always in all the homes. And beautiful lighting. And I think that's one of the reasons why we created this lighting business. I think lighting is a huge part of any room. And I always kind of start with a color palette and a light fixture. And from there, I work to create a room.
Amazing. Well, it's interesting that they each are so reflective of your personality and your personal style, but also speak to the incredible collaborators that you had on each of those projects. And of course, the late Mark Hampton in your grandmother's home that you've now updated. Did I read that you're also building a new house?
Yes, we do. We actually have a home in Panama. Yes. My husband went to business school with someone who married someone from Panama, and he fell in love with that part of the world. And we're building a very contemporary, kind of lots of teak and straw home there. It's about to be finished. So we've spent some time there during the holidays. And it's completely different. It's more modern. It feels a little bit more like Aspen. So it has a kind of contemporary feel. But since it's in the tropics, I've done a completely different palette. We've done corals and pale greens and citrus yellows. And it's really kind of a wonderful tropical paradise.
Incredible.
Yes,
and Daniel
is
helping you with that one as well.
Which has been really fun.
Are you very involved in the design process?
I am.
I
mean, I have to say, I love all aspects of design. I love, you know, the architecture. I love the interiors. I love picking the palettes and everything down to the coffee mugs and the placemats. It's, you know, for me, as I said earlier, home is really a passion of mine. It really has always has been. My dollhouse was my favorite toy growing up, and if I could still play in one with one, I would. I think home is just, it's very inviting and it's very special.
Absolutely. Do you have any style
icons?
I do.
I mean, you know, I've been working with Christie's on the Jane Reitzman sale that's happening this week, and I'm going later today to view the collection. And I've learned so much about her and her inspiration, her style. She loved pink. She was self-taught. She grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So when I list the people that I think are inspiring, I would say, you know, Jane Reitzman, Mirella Agnelli, I think is incredible. I love her love of wicker and color and pattern and flowers. Obviously, Picasso, I think, is complete genius. And then, you know, contemporary personalities who I think are very inspiring. I think Lauren Santidominga has done a wonderful job with Moda. I love her entertaining and tabletop mm-hmm. sensibility. Another friend of mine named Marina Rust, who used to work at Vogue, and I think she still writes for Vogue. We've known each other for many years, and I love following her on Instagram. I love her. She's more traditional, but I find her sensibility really beautiful. And she, to me, is like a style and I guess you could say home icon. And then, of course, you know, the ones, Bay Paley, yes. And, you know, there's certain personalities that have done, like Billy Baldwin. I would have loved to have an experience with him. I think his sensibility is just, it's actually quite timeless. And then, you know, obviously the designers that I've worked
absolutely.
With, Jacques Grange, Daniel Romaldes, Tim Shear, I think is great. I love his work. So mm-hmm. there's a list, a wonderful list of people that mm-hmm. are around today that I always am inspired by.
Well, as we're listing people that you're inspired by, it brings me to another question, which maybe there may be some overlap or it may be a difficult one to narrow down. But if you could host a fantasy dinner party for 6 to 8 people living or from another time in history, who would you most like to have?
Well, I would definitely love to have my grandparents because, you know, I always used to be with them in an entertaining situation as a little girl, but as a grown up to see my grandparents talking to people and what their topics would be, I think would be very inspiring. I have to say Walt Disney. I've always loved his creativity and his magic. I think he'd be a really interesting dinner partner. Mirella Agnelli, who, as I said earlier, is such a source of inspiration. Probably Jane Reitzman. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much, and Picasso.
Well, that would be a fun one. Where would you
probably
be?
Probably New York. There's something about New York that I come Fantastic. Back every week for a few days, and I always feel like I'm home when I come back.
Were you able to stay
we were
in
back
New York
and
during
forth.
The
we
pandemic,
really,
or did
we
you
stay in the Hamptons for most
in the Hamptons?
Of it in the beginning,
okay.
And then in the past few months, we've been coming back, you know, during the week. And I have to say, whenever I come home, I really do, even though the city's very different and the museums, the restaurants, everything has changed. Many of the elements that have made that makes New York, New York have been put on hold, but there is still an incredible energy and love and something really special and unique about this magical city.
I couldn't agree more. I so wish to get back, hopefully sooner rather than later. Well, Erin, let's talk a little bit more about Entertaining Beautifully, this incredible book that you've just written. It's just come out. And as you mentioned, it's organized by season, which I think is really clever. And you've included so many ideas that are quite tangible. You know, there are tons of ideas that people can implement into their own entertaining and gatherings. And I think more than ever, we're craving time with loved ones more than ever, and we can hopefully do so in a way that is safe in more intimate settings. So as we begin, maybe could you tell us a little bit about why you chose to organize it by season and which
well,
season
I thought
is your
season
favorite?
Was an interesting way of doing it, because if you do specific holidays, it becomes endless, and you know, some holidays would be a bigger chapter than others. And I just thought there was something really magical about the seasons, because I do love the change of seasons. I mean, there's a reason why I love living on the East Coast. I love winter, spring, summer, fall. I love when it snows. I love when the you know, lilac trees blossom for spring. I love when the leaves change in the fall. So to me, I think seasons is such an important part of my life and my inspiration. So breaking it up by the season, I thought was a kind of a fun, unexpected way to do it. And if I had to think of one season that I love the most, I have to say I love the spring. I love, you know, I do love walking outside with my dogs. I love flowers, and there's nothing more special when like everything's starting to bloom, and you can start cutting flowers and putting them in your home, or walking through Central Park and just seeing all the cherry blossoms. I think spring to me kind of is the beginning of kind of a new chapter, so to speak, to like the winter's over, coats you put away, and then spring kind of changes your mood. And I always think everyone's happier when it's sunny and
Right.
warm and birds are chirping and flowers are blooming. I think that's a very special time of the year.
I agree. It seems to hearken a
Exactly.
sense of possibility. Do you have a favorite
I
holiday?
have to say birthdays. And I love birthdays, and that's one of the reasons why the Halloween party is so fun, because my son was born the day before Halloween, or the day after Halloween, I apologize, November 1st. And we always did a Halloween birthday party. And now he's about to be 20, and I don't think he wants a Halloween birthday party, even though I wish I could still do it. But I do think Halloween, there's something really magical about it. It appeals to everyone of all ages. Everyone loves candy, everyone loves costumes. And I think there's something fun. And I did love celebrating his birthday that way.
That's so great. What is a favorite childhood memory of
Well,
yours related to
probably as a
entertaining?
little girl, just being with my grandmother and watching her set the table, her attention to detail, the bowls of candies, as I discussed, the beautiful flowers, candles, hand, calligraphied place cards, menu cards. The archives at Estee Lauder are such a source of inspiration. And a lot of these beautiful old menu cards were saved, and just her choice of food and the way she would entertain. I think she was a constant source of inspiration, even before I realized what she was actually doing. I just would like come downstairs and watch her kind of do the finishing touches to her table. She would get dressed, she'd put jewelry on, fragrance, lipstick, and she was ready. And I think that there's something about watching her do that that has been such a source of inspiration to me. It's really the attention to detail. She used to always say, everything can be beautiful if you take the time. And I think that that's so important and so true.
Definitely. And I will say, I feel like that level of attention to detail is a form of almost generosity and politeness because oftentimes I think hostesses who entertain as beautifully as you're describing the way your grandmother entertained and the way that you entertain, to me, that comes from a very generous place in which you're wanting to create a beautiful experience for your guests and to
That's
make
very,
them
very
feel
true. It's
special.
funny when I have certain friends come for dinner. I have one very old friend we've been friends since we were 5 years old. And it's, been over 40 years. And she loves chocolates, adores chocolates. So I always make sure that I have tons of delicious chocolates and little silver bowls for dessert when she comes. And then I have another friend who loves cakes for dessert. So I make sure that I have something kind of wonderful and delicious for her. So I do take the time to really think about who's coming. And I also think it's really important to mix people up, that people don't know each other. They might meet someone new at your dinner or lunch and really enjoy that new friendship. So I do think it's important to pay attention to all these different details.
That's a great tip. I like the idea of mixing up the guest list a little bit, not seating people next to one another that are already quite friendly with
Exactly.
each other. What are some of your other indispensable
Well, I
elements or
think, as I said
tips for
earlier,
entertaining
fresh flowers,
beautifully?
depending on what the season is, once again, using what's local, what's in bloom. I think there's something beautiful about a fall dinner party with kind of wonderful, rich colored hydrangeas that are so beautiful in the fall. I think food, I think people love cozy, delicious food. I think, as I said earlier, dessert, I think is a fun part. It's a great way to end the evening. And you could even go into another room and have tea and bowls of chocolates and cookies, and that's something that Esty used to do that I've learned from her. And I also think just welcoming people to your home, you have to be relaxed, you have to enjoy yourself, and if you feel calm, they feel calm.
Definitely. Yes. I think that's a tip that I've
Oh,
learned
yeah.
from Ina Garten, just watching the Barefoot Contessa over the years is, do things ahead of time and have a cocktail before your guests arrive. Just be relaxed because the last thing you want is to, feel frazzled or stressed because then that can imbue the overall
Exactly.
mood of your party. What are you currently feeling inspired
by? Yeah, that's
by?
A really good question. I have to say I am very, you know, inspired by Instagram. I do, you know, even though I can't get on a plane and go to India, which was I was planning to do for my 50th birthday, you know, watching Bar Palladio on Instagram and seeing what they're posting and seeing restaurants and hotels. I think just travel is a very important source of inspiration for me. And if I can't physically do it right now, I think being able to visually see what's going on in different parts of the world, I think is very inspiring.
Definitely. So once we're able to travel again, is India at the top of your list, or is there somewhere else you'd like to go?
In the United States. I mean, I'm going to the Adirondacks next week with a good friend who's just turned 50 as well. We're going to go, and I'm dying to go to the Grand Canyon. So I have a list of kind of destinations in the United States, which are hopefully going to happen this year.
That's so great. Is there anything that people might be surprised to learn about you other than you have a sweet tooth?
I love children and animals. I have to say, you know, I've got two boys, and as I said, their friends are always at our house. And I always think the more, the better. And that's probably one of the reasons why I love long tables in the summertime. We always entertain outside and have these wonderful kind of long wood tables and benches. And it's just easier to keep adding to that than if you had proper chairs. And I think that I always want to welcome people into my home, especially I love children.
That's wonderful. If you could go back in time, is there a piece of advice that you would offer?
Probably
your
to enjoy
self?
Every day. And I think that, you know, there's something really important about life and family and good friends and being happy, and really try to take every day and make the most of it.
Speaking of, since we've been living throughout this pandemic, obviously we're recording this in the midst of the pandemic. It's not gone away. Is there a lesson that you will take forward?
Well,
with
you know,
you
it really just makes you realize what's important. You know, when this whole pandemic started, I was in Florida actually, and I wanted to come back to East Hampton to be near my parents because there was nothing more important to me than being near the people that I love. And I think this pandemic has really taught everyone the importance of health, family, you know, following the rules, wearing masks, washing your hands, being careful. And I think it also, the silver lining of it has really been family time. I mean, you know, I celebrated my 50th birthday with my parents and my sons and my husband. And I think that it really has shown you that, you know, I don't need to be in India on some fabulous trip. I mean, of course, I would like to do that, but it really showed me the most important thing was being with the people that I love. And I think that this pandemic has actually made everyone stop and realize and think about things a bit.
Definitely. I think everybody has sort of taken stock, as you said, of the things that truly matter and, you know, cut out some of that extraneous noise. I think a lot of us will be maybe moving forward in a way
exactly.
that is different from the way that we once did things. So, Erin, as we wrap up, I'll ask you one last question. What is currently giving you hope
Probably
in the world of design,
I have
or otherwise?
I mean, they're definitely not in the world of design, but yeah, I'm always like forever, like, please clean up your room. Like, take all their clothes. I think boys do this everywhere, all over the world. Like, all their clothes are like piled on their chairs. But I think that what's giving me hope is really family. And, you know, I think there's something really, as I said earlier, I think there's something really important. And in the world of design, once again, I think, you know, I'm constantly going through like watching great old films, reading, you know, design books. You know, a lot of people are launching books right now. And I have a whole stack from Michael Smith, Markham Roberts, just wonderful books for inspiration. So that's kind of giving me hope as well.
Definitely. I love the fall season when all the new books come out. There have been so many this year, and particularly one that we encourage everyone to go out and get.
Thank
Entertaining
you.
Beautifully by Erin Lauder has so much inspiration, so many beautiful images, a lot of personal stories about your family, your grandmother, the way that you entertain, as well as how these beautiful interiors came to be. And then, as you mentioned, you've also invited some stylish friends to lend some of their
tips
as well. Well, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Erin. This has been a delight.
Okay, bye.
Take care. That was creative entrepreneur and author Erin Lauder. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to visit us online at palomacontreras.com under the podcast tab, where you can find more episodes featuring inspiring conversations with creatives. You can listen directly on our website or subscribe via Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're enjoying the Style Files, please consider spreading the word and leaving us a positive rating or review. It will only take a few seconds of your time and will make a huge difference for us. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.